I just want to show a little clip this morning just as we're getting that ready. I want to continue with our theme about radical love. And I want to talk about an aspect of radical love, about loving ourselves, about loving myself. I just want to watch this little clip. You would have seen this on television repeatedly over the last couple of weeks or so. So let's just watch this little clip this morning. That's the one.
Learn how to love yourself at the Mind Body Spirit Festival. Discover hundreds of ways at the festival to love your mind through work-life balance, stress relief, and meditation. Love your body using natural health yoga and body therapies. Love your spirit with psychic readings, spiritual guidance, and healing. Simply love yourself. Visit the Mind Body Spirit Festival on this Thursday to Sunday at the Darling Harbour Exhibition Centre.
Right. Now, I just this morning there's going to be thousands of people that are in Melbourne. They're all gone. A lot of people are going to that festival this morning. Tens of thousands of people will go over that, and right across Australia, there's many, many thousands of people are going to this New Age festival, and it really is a lot of demonic stuff that's there. But people are going there because they want to learn about loving themselves. That's what I want to talk about this morning, but I want to talk about it from the biblical point of view, not from their point of view. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we open your word this morning. Father, we come, Lord, because you are the source of truth, Lord. You are truth, Lord, and your word is truth. And so, Father, we open our hearts to you, Lord, that you will bring a revelation to each and every one of us, Lord, about this whole aspect, Lord, of learning about loving ourselves, Father. Not as the world would have it, Father, not even as the New Age and false religions would have it, Father, but Lord, according to your word, what it means for us to love ourselves. So Father, we open our hearts to you now, and Lord, pray that you speak to us in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. But there obviously is a hunger in the heart of man for people to understand this whole aspect of loving themselves. Of course, what you've seen there is all about very self-centered idea or notion of loving themselves, about pampering yourself, about doing everything for yourself. But I want to talk about a different way of the whole concept of loving ourselves and looking at the context of that from the Word of God this morning. We know our scripture is Ephesians 5:2. This is a scripture we're looking at this year. It says, "And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And so it's about living a life of love, about not just doing occasional loving acts, not just being loving. People in the world can be loving and they can do loving acts, but it's about living a lifestyle of love, of this radical love, radical being that God is the source of it. Ultimately, that's what the word means. It's radical. It comes from the source. He is our source. And I want to talk about loving ourselves this morning. And so that's one aspect. Talked about sacrifice and how important that without sacrifice there really is no love, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. I want to read about some of the scriptures which tell us about loving ourselves, to love ourselves. Luke 10:27, and this is where one of the teachers of the law, he asked, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, what do you make of it? And he says, well, this is the answer that the teacher of the law gave in Luke 10:27. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. So that's agapeo, the verb of agape. Let's love the Lord your God with all our heart, with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus commended that answer of loving your neighbor as yourself. And again, also in James 2, it says that. It says in James 2, it says, if you really keep the royal law in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. Also tells us that in Galatians, it tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. It tells us that in Romans, to love our neighbor as itself. And when something's repeated, that often in Scripture, you think that God is trying to get a message across to us about loving our neighbor as ourselves, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, but loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so there is a sense that we need to love ourselves. And it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So perhaps in the same way, or perhaps in other ways, even in the same degree to which we love ourselves, that we can love other people. And so it's an important concept about loving ourselves. Now, the world has an aspect about loving yourself, and the concept of that is it's about pampering yourself. It's about pleasuring yourself. It's about making all your every need and every urge, every impulse to be satisfied. It's about being focused upon yourself. And that's a worldly notion of loving yourself. And a lot of people in the world struggle with that because they really think it's all about them, and they're told everything's about you, and life's all about you. It's all about you. And so when they talk about loving themselves, they hear about that. Yeah, well, that's right. I've got to love myself. I've got to look after myself. I'm going to pamper myself. I deserve to be pampered. And I'm going to feed my flesh, and I'm going to indulge myself or pleasure myself or do whatever it takes to make myself feel loved and important and whatever else. Well, that's a different concept that I'm talking about when we're talking about loving ourselves. Because when God tells us to love ourselves, remember we've been doing the Agape Road series, and we'll be kicking that off, continuing that again in a few weeks' time, about the whole notion of loving with that, with the hook or straight with the arrow. And if you don't understand that, make sure you start going along to the Agape Road, because it's changing the lives of those that are doing that. But it's an important concept that we're not about ourselves and about what points back into me. And certainly we never want to love God like that. We don't want to love one another. But we've got to love, it says, love your neighbour as yourself. It's interesting. When you read in the scripture, there's no verse on its own that just says, love yourself. I can't turn to a verse in an isolated context and it says, love yourself. But there's always a context to that when he says, love yourself. It's to love your neighbour as yourself. And there's something about that. There's something about there being linked together about loving yourself and loving others is somehow join together in scripture. And so we can't actually talk really about loving ourselves without talking about loving others, because the scripture marries them together. In every instance it talks about they're married together. But I do want to separate just for a moment, and then I'll bring it back to that context, because that's really where it comes from in the scripture. But to talk about loving myself, and as I said, the world has an understanding of that. But 1 Corinthians 13:5, and I know you looked at that in home group, about what love is. And I'm not going to go through that list of love, because most of you should probably be able to recite that passage of 1 Corinthians 13 about being loving, patient, kind and envious, not boastful and all of those kind of things. But one of it says in verse 5, it says it does not dishonour others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's what love really is. And again, the word is agape love is like those kind of things. It says it's not self-seeking. Not self-seeking. I'm talking about radical love. I'm talking about loving myself. And yet somehow the scripture is saying to love myself is not to be self-seeking, because love is by definition, it's not about me. It's not about myself. It's not about me. We talked about that when we talked about sacrifice, about living for the kingdom. I want to talk about living for others on another occasion. But as we're looking here now, it says love is not self-seeking. And yet I've got to love myself. And yet at the same time, it's not self-seeking. So how do I love myself and not be self-seeking? Because the worldly mindset says, well, aren't they incompatible? If I'm going to love myself, don't I have to look after myself? Don't I have to seek things for myself? Don't I try to get things for myself, do things for myself? And yet the Bible's explicitly telling us, no, it isn't like that. It isn't like that. It's not about self-seeking, about seeking things for yourself, for your own benefit, for your own happiness, for your own fulfillment even. It's not about seeking things for us. So how am I going to love myself when it's not really about me, yet I'm supposed to love myself and love my neighbour even as I love myself, but it's not about being self-seeking. So how am I going to love myself? How do I do that? Philippians 2:3 also says something about this. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Vanity is things are about you. It's about me. The focus is on me. The attention, that's vanity. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Now, that's really important. It's not about me. It's not about my ambition, about me making a name for myself or doing things for me. It's not about that. It says, have nothing to do with that. Don't even let that enter into your thinking. Don't let it be a part of your psyche. Don't let it enter into your mind. It's not about that. It's not about selfish ambition, trying to get things for yourself, make a name for yourself, build an empire for yourself, satisfy yourself. Not about vain conceit, about what people think about you and people honor you and they appreciate. Nothing, don't even go there. It says, rather in humility, value others above yourself. And I think that's where some people get wrong, and particularly as Christians, I think we can get it wrong. I think most people, most Christians I meet very few that I think I would consider arrogant or ambitious for their self or self-seeking. in reality, I think not many are like that. Maybe there are some like that. I don't know if I know many or any particularly that are like that. But I think the other end of the scale is, rather than thinking the whole world's about me and aren't I wonderful, the other end of the scale is over here, is where we think, well, yeah, well, it's very easy for me to think of others being above me because I'm nothing. I'm a hopeless, pathetic little worm. And we think like that, and we think that is actually humility. Well, that's not actually humility at all. In fact, that's actually the words of the devil. That's how he would describe and talk. So that's not about humility. If you put yourself down, you think you're inadequate, that you're not good as other people, you're useless, you're hopeless, then that's the devil is getting in there and you're listening to him. Because that's not what humility is. Humility is never about putting yourself down. It's never about being a martyr. It's not being about being a doormat. It's not being someone who says, oh, look at me, I'm pathetic, I'm hopeless, useless, failure. And if you think that's what humility is, that's actually not. That is false humility. It's wrong, because it's actually not humility at all. Because if you're thinking about yourself, then you're not humble in any way. I love William Temple's definition. He was a famous Anglican priest, and 150 odd years ago, however long ago it was, a long time ago. But this is what he said. He says, humility does not mean thinking less of yourself than of other people, nor does it mean having a low opinion of your gifts. It means the freedom from thinking about yourself at all. I love that definition of humility. You don't think less of yourself. You don't think you're hopeless or useless. Oh, look, everyone's better than me. Wish I could be like everyone else. I'm hopeless. I'm terrible. That's not humility. If you're thinking like that, then the devil's got in there and he started to undermine you and starting to cut you, trying to cut the ground from you. If you're thinking about yourself in any way like that, then it's not humility. Humility is you're not thinking about yourself. The focus is never upon yourself. If you have humility in your life, if you start thinking it's about me, oh gee, look, they're better than me, I'm terrible, it's not humility. And actually, as we'll see a little bit longer, you're actually dishonoring God. You dishonor God when you bring yourself down and put yourself down like that. When you can't actually put yourself down without actually dishonoring God in the process, because you make him out to be a liar, and God is not a liar. And so we've got to somehow love ourselves. But somehow in doing that, that we don't want to be ones that are self-seeking, but we don't want to be ones then that are going to put ourselves down and think that we're hopeless. We don't want to go the other extreme and think, well, I'm a superhero and I become proud and I become arrogant and I stomp over everybody all around me. I want to somehow find, Lord, what is the truth in all of this about loving myself? Because he said it so many times, he might really want us to grab a hold of it and understand what it is to love ourselves. So if we think that we're just, and remember Pastor Ray had an excellent word about the thing, oh, I'm a worm, I'm a sinner. And if we live thinking like that, then we're going to have God over here somewhere. We're over here and we're always striving across this gulf of my own failure and inadequacy and insecurity, and somehow trying to rise above that and apprehend God and the things of God and his blessing in my life. And I'll never breach that. Because that's exactly what religion is. Religion is about that man here and God there and trying to breach this gulf. But we're Christians. We're not religious. We're not trying to breach any gulf. Christ has already breached the gulf by the cross. So there's nothing for us to try to breach in that way. But if we think we're down and lowly, then God will always be so far away. Or if we feel that we are someone that we're desperately seeking some sort of acceptance and to be approved of God, that God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That God will say to that, this is my son whom I am well pleased. And if we feel, oh, crying out for that. But if we feel that we don't actually have that, again, there's another void. We'll try to bridge that void by our performance, by trying to do everything, trying to look good. Remember one of the giants that we talked in the nights about, one of the giants, seven giants, was about looking good, and that we become performance motivated people, always trying to perform, always trying to do all the time, trying to get good enough, trying to look good enough and try to feel good enough so that we're able to somehow preach something in God. And again, we fall into some sort of a religious trap. So we want to be able to love ourselves and to not to fall into those traps, to be people that really walk as the people that God has made us to be, and to be able to radically love and live that life of love. An important part of that is to love ourselves. One of the important things I think that we really need to understand is how much that God loves us. And we think we know that. You say, yeah, I know God loves me, praise God, but I'm still learning more and more of that all the time. And I'm in awe of that the more I learn how much God loves me. And I think for every one of us, it's a process of revelation that how deep, how wide is the love of God. And the more that we are crying out to God and getting more intimate with God, the more we are blown away by God's love in his life and his heart for us. And I think once we begin to understand that more, we begin to understand, actually, I am okay. Some of us are very hard judges on themselves. I mean, some of the people that are the most compassionate people to others are some of the most hardest judges upon themselves. And they'll give everyone else a break, but they will never give themselves a break. But that's wrong to be like that. It's great to be compassionate for everyone else and to give them grace. But if you never give yourself any grace, you're wrong in that process. But we need to understand God's love for us. Psalm 139. Now, this is a passage that many of you know. And be very a favorite for many people, Psalm 139. I just want to read a couple of verses from Psalm 139. It says, "For you created my inmost being." So God made you as you were. Talks about how he knit your body together. Your body was knit together in the womb. How everything formed together. But he made your inmost being. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderfully made. I know that full well." That's interesting that David is saying this. He's saying, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are made well." He's saying, "Lord, you made me, and you, everything that you make well." That's what David is saying. David wrote this psalm, and that's what he's saying. He says, "I know that full well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Everything you make is wonderful. You made me, therefore I am wonderful. Not aren't I wonderful, but Lord, there's a wonder. The glory of that you made me, and therefore there's something about the way I think about myself." Now you think about David. David, the murdering adulterer. That's who David was, a murdering adulterer. And yet he's the one who then writes this psalm and says, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderfully made. I know that well." Despite all of that, he knew what the grace of God meant on his life. He knew what the forgiveness of God was upon his life. And so he never walked around branding himself in the failure and the sin of the past, even as Pastor Ray was reminding us of last week, that you were a sinner, but you're not a sinner now. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner saved by grace, but you're not a sinner anymore. A whole new nature. And David was able to then grab a hold of these things, grab a hold of the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and be able to say, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, everything you do." And so every one of us, and when we look at our life, we look at ourselves, and we begin to see how much God loves us, and we should be able to say, "God made me, therefore I am fearfully, wonderfully made. And therefore, I actually can love myself, because if God can love me, who knows me better than anyone else will ever know me, he knows me in my inmost being, he knows your inner thoughts. If he can love me, then who am I to then despise myself and put myself down?" In fact, if you were to read the passage, if we had time to read the whole passage, if you were to read that passage, he goes on to talk about it, how much God thinks about him. It says about, "How numerous are your thoughts concerning me, O God." God is thinking about him all the time. God's thinking about you all the time. God thinks about you all of the time. Can't ever think, ever not stop thinking about you. Constantly thinks about you. Always thinking about us. Always loving us. Always cherishing us. He's never there looking and thinking, "Oh, I've got to fix them now. I'm going to punish them." He's looking at us. Because remember, we heard and you would have seen in that illustration last Sunday night how we are clothed in Christ. Excuse me. So when he looks at us, he sees nothing but the beauty and the holiness of Christ. And he sees the beauty and the wonder of the person that he made, and he made us to be. And so God loves us. And so we are ones that are dearly loved and deeply loved. And therefore we are all lovable and deeply loved. And if God loves me so much, that so much that even proved it on the cross, then who am I to despise myself? Who am I to put myself down? Because if I put myself down and think, Lord, I'm so hopeless, I'm useless or whatever, then I'm actually calling him to be a liar, because he says that you're my precious child. The scripture says that we are the apple of his eye. We're going to have a look at a whole lot of stuff that God says about us at the end of this message. We're going to watch a clip. It'll tell us God's heart towards us. But if we put ourselves down after God says so much over us, we're making him out to be a liar. We're not lying. God's not a liar. And so we've got to make sure we begin to believe, God, I am who you said I am. And Lord, I can love myself. If God can love me, who knows my weaknesses, he knows my failures, he knows every thought and intention and every motive of the heart, he knows everything about me. If God can love me with such a passion that he cannot stop thinking about me, then who am I to despise myself? Who am I to dishonor his creation that he loves more than that, his son or his daughter that he cherishes so much, so I can love him? And we begin to be known that we're loved of him, and begin to look at myself and say, well, look, you know, I'm not that bad actually, because God loves me, and therefore because I'm loved, I can have some confidence. There is a value in my life and there's a worth in my life. Many people struggle coming to God because they feel unworthy. They feel that unworthy before God. But again, that's wrong. Again, Pastor Ray reminded us last week about sin and what Christ dealt with sin and all of those things, but we are worthy to come before God. You are worthy. You are worth everything to God, demonstrated by the cross of Jesus Christ, him dying in our place for our sin. Therefore, we are worthy of him. We are worthy to come before God because of Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus has done, he makes us worthy. Because God loves us, there is such a worth within us, a God-given worth, a God-valued worth, that we are actually worthy to come before God and not to slink around as a little worm, but we come confidently before the throne of grace, boldly before the throne of grace, as the scripture says, because he loves us so much. We've got to begin to see ourselves as that. We have this incredible confidence because of God loves me so much. And so we're never going to be ones that want to put ourselves down, because if we put ourselves down, we bring God down with us, because we say, God, that what you say about me is wrong. Your heart towards me, God, you mucked up. David says, I know that you make everything well, all things well. And he made me. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a dud. He didn't make a loser. He didn't make a failure. He made someone that is very precious and worthy of his love. And therefore, we're not going to put ourselves down, and therefore I can begin to love myself, to know that we are accepted of God and approved of God. And I've said this before, that I just really want us to get a hold of it, that we are accepted of God, and he approves of you. He approves of you. We're approved of God. He approved of us. Because of the work of the cross, everything is approved. There's a stamp that's been sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ upon heart, saying, this person is approved and accepted by me. And therefore, I don't have to strive for his approval or his acceptance. I'm actually loved. And I can be secure in who I am. Because God's secure in who I am, then why can't I be? I can be secure in who I am. Because God is. He has a confidence in me. He loves me despite all whatever weaknesses or whatever else is in my life. That he loves me, and therefore I can be one that's worthy and approved, and therefore I can begin to love myself and not be one who puts myself down. I just want to read a passage in Ephesians chapter 5. And this really explains to me how this whole thing about loving myself works. Now, the context of this, it's talking about husbands and wives, but at the end of it, Paul says, well, I'm not really talking about that. I'm really talking about Christ and the church, but incidentally, yep, it does apply in this situation as well. So I want to read this passage, Ephesians 5, 25 to 23. You probably heard it at a few weddings along the way, and certainly it applies for weddings, but it's a mystery beyond that, the scripture says. And let's have a little look about this, about loving myself. It says, husbands, so it's Ephesians 5, 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And so it talks about what Christ has done for us. It's interesting, whenever we're talking about love, it always comes back down to the cross somewhere, doesn't it? Even about loving ourselves, it all comes back down to the cross, because without the cross, we don't know love at all and understand love. It says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Listen to that words. He who loves his wife loves himself. Talking about loving ourselves. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. Listen to that phrase. We are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And so generally we look at this passage, and the usual application is it's at a wedding, and talk about husbands loving your wife just as Christ did, as a model of that. And certainly that is a beautiful picture of what marriage is supposed to be like, about even as Christ with the church. It's a wonderful picture. But there's something more than just a picture of marriage that we've been taught in this passage. He's actually teaching us about the relationship between Christ and the church, but also how we're going to work within that. And it talks about, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And that, to me, is a really key phrase. And again, that's repeated at the end. He said, also must love his wife as he loves himself. But he who loves his wife loves himself. Now, it's interesting, because what the definition of here of loving yourself is actually what living like Christ did. Laying it all down. He laid it all down for us on the cross. He sacrificed himself, gave himself up for her to present her as this someone radiant to himself. And I think there's a real key here in about loving ourselves in the way that God wants, not the worldly concept of loving ourselves, but the way that God wants us to love ourselves. It says, he who loves his wife loves himself. There is something unique, obviously, with a husband and wife when they get married together, two become one flesh. So then they're no longer one. They're not under their parents anymore, as sense. It says, leave their father and mother. They come away. They're separate. They're a family that's established in their own right. And as a part of that, there's that sense of union together, about being one flesh together. But then it talks about loving the body. And as he loves him, looks after himself, he cares for himself, he's going to do that and care for his wife in that same way. But then it reminds us that we're members of one body. And what I want to suggest to us is that part of us really loving ourselves, it really comes back down to loving one another, the love that we show for one another. We love ourselves in the sense that we have a proper view of myself, a biblical view of myself, not a worldly view of myself. Not a judgment based on performance or the accumulation of other things, but the way that God sees me in a healthy way is, and that helps me to know I'm accepted and I'm worthy of his love, and I am loved of him and I am lovable, and so we can stand in that. But really to begin to understand the expression of outworking of loving myself, it gives us the clue. It says, he who loves his wife loves himself. And it tells us that this is really about Christ and the church. It's a bigger picture than just marriage here. It's about we're being members of one body. And I really believe that the best way that we really love ourselves in a biblical sense and in the sense of the love that we're talking about is by loving one another. Because as I show love to you, now my wife, we're married, and it's pretty obvious, you know, but loving her, she's almost an extension of me. She's a part of me. And as I show my love to her, as I honor her and love her, really I'm honoring myself, because we're joined together. And therefore there's that love, that there's bond, there's that union there. But it reminds us here that we're all part of one body. It says, for we're members of his body, that we are joined together. And even as I actually show love to my brothers and sisters in Christ, because we are joined together in that incredible mystery that we're joined together by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And as I love you, as I show love to you, I'm actually loving myself, because we are joined together. And so see the subtlety here. Loving myself, ultimately, it's one, knowing who I am in Christ, knowing how God thinks of me. But the outworking and the expression of loving myself is not about me pampering myself. It's not about me, you know, wanting to spend every day, you know, in the sauna or spa or, you know, lying down, whatever people do to pamper themselves. It's not about doing that. To really love myself actually has an expression. The outworking is not really about me at all. It's not about my needs. It's not about what I want. It's actually about loving you, loving other people. And as I love you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and as we love one another, excuse me, then we're actually loving ourselves because we're joined together. There's something in there. We are intrinsically joined together because of Jesus Christ. And so if I really want to love myself, then I'm going to have to love other people, because as I love you, I am actually loving myself because you're a part of me anyway. We're joined together. We're more than just even brothers and sisters. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about us being one body together. We're actually joined. If you hurt, I hurt. If something good happens to you, praise God. Something good has happened to me. Something bad, then I'm going to pray because something bad is happening to me too, because we're joined together. And so if I really want to love myself in this radical kind of love, this agape love, and by the way, all those scriptures are about agape love, then it can't be really about me anyway to love myself. It really is about loving other people. But as I love you, I love myself because we're joined together. So it's a different mindset about the world has about loving myself. We understand that, yes, I'm not down here. I'm not this despised little thing. And how dare I look down upon myself? Forgive me, Lord, for the times where I've put myself down, for where I've declared myself a failure, for where I've written myself off and whatever. And I'm sure we've all probably put ourselves down and declared that we're a loser or a failure at some time in our life. But Lord, forgive us for that, because we're not. We don't want to call you a liar by thinking that, Lord, that we are that precious child of yours. And Lord, that we are completely loved and lovable. And Lord, that we're secure in who we are. We're not trying to prove ourselves to anyone. We're not trying to put on a show. We're not trying to do anything. We're not trying to get anything from anyone else. Lord, we're just secure in who you've made us to be. But Lord, I want to show that radical love. And Lord, even as I show that love to other people, Lord, I'm actually loving myself because we are joined together. And it's a different mindset altogether. And that's so when you read the scripture about loving your neighbor as yourself, well, so, well, hang on, are we going back in a circle again? Because if I'm loving someone else as much as myself, well, it is. It does come back in a circle, because it's all about the love of God that flows within our heart as well. I can love you because I'm secure in who I am. I can love you because I know that I'm loved and the love of God flows through my life. And therefore, I can confidently do that. But even the process of loving you, then I'm also loving myself because we are joined together. So it's not about us. When we're talking about this kind of love, and even about loving ourselves, it's ultimately not about me. It's not about ourselves. The focus never really is about ourselves. It's on God and it's other people. What if we did want to do, though? Like we saw in that ad at the beginning about loving your mind and loving your body, loving your spirit. Well, how do I do that if I wanted to do those things? Well, I wanted to do that in a Christian kind of way. How do I do that? Not in a new age or false religion or demonic even way. How do I love my mind? Well, you look after your mind. We renew our mind in the Word of God. If you really want to look after yourself, look after your mind and get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Get your thoughts focused. The Scripture talks about in Romans 8, it talks about setting our mind on the things above. And so that's how you're going to love your mind, if you really want to love your mind. And to look after your mind and to make sure your mind is right, set your mind on things of God. What about our body? Well, we know that 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to need to look after this temple where the Holy Spirit actually dwells within me, within my physical body. The Holy Spirit is dwelling here. And so I want to honor the temple of God that with the Lord is living within me. And I don't want to be one that gives it over to sin. Also in Romans 8, it talks about not taking our instruments of our body and handing it over to as a slave of righteousness. So I've got to be careful what I do with this body. If I want to love the body, if I want to look after it. What about my soul? Well, I want to refresh myself in the things of God. I want to worship Him with all my heart. I want to spend time with God. And in doing that, all the things that I do directed towards God are the things that are going to affect our mind, our body, and our soul. The Lord will affect us in every area of our life. So the challenge for us is that if we're really going to look after ourselves or love ourselves, first of all, loving ourselves, is to know the way that God thinks of us. And never put yourself down. Never agree with the devil. Don't become friends with the devil by agreeing with him on any point, one point at all, particularly the points where he wants to put you down and grind you down. And don't become one that is self-absorbed and self-centered. I'm going to love myself. The Bible says to love myself. Therefore, I'm going to pamper myself. I'm going to try to satisfy myself and fill myself. And no, that's not what loving myself is in the Scripture. Ultimately, it comes down to really loving other people. And as you do that, then you'll find that you are blessed. Because as you bless me, then you're blessed too. And as I bless you, I get blessed because we are one body together. And that's what it really means to love ourselves. Totally different concept to the world says when it's all about me. But we love ourselves. It's actually about other people. I just want us to watch this little clip this morning. Now, some of us, we've seen this before. I showed a couple of years ago. But I just want to really, it's really the Lord's heart to us. And I really want us to grab a heart of that. Because if you're one who does struggle with acceptance from God and thinking that you're low and you're failing and whatever, I just want you to understand God's heart towards you this morning. And on the platform of that, on the basis of that, the love that God has for us and the way that he sees us, how we can freely love other people. Because I want to talk about loving others, but if we don't have this platform right, the way that we love people is going to be distorted and twisted. We'll love people according to a worldly pattern, or we'll love people according to our own experience rather than really knowing who we are in Christ. So let's watch this together, and I want us to have an understanding of God's love towards us.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad. Almighty God.
Very powerful. Let's stand to our feet. Just want to pray this morning. If you've come this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know the Father. You don't have a relationship with your Father in heaven. Then come this morning that you might find Christ, that might find your Father. Maybe there's those that are here that you really do struggle with your own sense of self-worth and value. And maybe you've agreed with the devil too many times. And maybe God wants you to just to come this morning and allow him just to pour his love upon you. Maybe open your eyes that you can see how much God loves you, how valuable you are in his sight, the worth that you have. And maybe you can begin to open your heart and begin to love others in a way perhaps you haven't before. Father, we come before you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that as we stand here, Lord, we're just aware of that great love that you have for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for our sin and our place. And Lord, that ultimate demonstration of your love, Lord, show to us how much you love us. But Lord, how much you believe that we were worth it. Lord, how much we are worth it. Lord, because you love us with such a passion. Father, I pray, Lord, help us, Lord, to always not look down upon ourselves, Lord, but Lord, to see ourselves as you see us. Lord, as one that God loves, one that has just so loved of you, Lord, and so lovable, Lord, such a treasure, so precious in your sight, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. In such a way. Father, let us never be those that will put ourselves down. Lord, let not even our mouths confess that, Father, but Lord, let us confess that we're your children. Lord, that we're loved of you, Lord. And because you love us, Lord, we are secure in who we are. And Lord, we're able, Lord, to show love to others, Lord. We're not looking for approval. We're not looking to get something back, but Lord, just to love them, even as you've loved us. So Father, help us, Lord, to stand in that, Lord, to walk in that every day, Lord, as a part of living that life of love, Lord, that we know who we are in you. One that is loved, and therefore, Lord, we can love, Lord. And even as we love others, Lord, that we are blessed in return. I thank you, Lord, that we are joined together as one family by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we are brothers and sisters, Lord, that we're joined. And Lord, even as we love one another, Lord, that's an expression of loving ourselves, Lord, because of that union that we have in Christ. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for every heart, Lord, to grab a hold of this morning of the great love that you have for us, Lord, that we are loved of you, Lord, and therefore, Lord, that we can love ourselves, Lord, in that right way. So, Father, we just thank you now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.